Welcome to our deep dive into the world of life insurance, and we're taking a look at some chapters on life insurance policy options and provisions, and these are ones that you specifically requested. So most people, I think, when they think about life insurance, they're thinking about it as a death benefit. But did you know that your policy can actually be a valuable asset even before death?
Yeah, that's right.
Let's unpack that.
So when you think about permanent life insurance, you know, you're really looking at a financial tool with what are called living benefits. It's more than just a safety net for your loved ones when you're gone.
Living benefits, I've got to admit, that's not usually the first thing that comes to mind when I think about life insurance.
Well, that's because the focus is often solely on the death benefit.
Right.
But with permanent life insurance, you have this element of cash value accumulation that happens over time.
Oh, okay.
Plus, certain types of policies known as participating policies may even offer dividends.
So it's kind of like having a savings account built right into your insurance policy.
Yeah, that's a good way to think about it. And the exciting part is you have options for using this cash value during your lifetime.
Okay, hold on. This is where I need you to break it down for me.
Right.
What are some of the ways someone could actually tap into this cash value while they're still, you know, living?
There are a few different avenues, and we'll get into the specifics a bit later.
Yeah, okay.
But just to spark your curiosity, imagine being able to use that cash value for things like a down payment on a house.
Wow.
Or even funding your child's education.
Okay.
It could also provide a source of supplemental income during retirement.
Wow. That definitely changes the way I think about life insurance. But for now,
yeah,
let's focus on what happens when the death benefit actually needs to be paid out. I know the standard way is a lump sum payment to the beneficiary, right?
That's usually the default.
Yes.
However, what many people don't realize is that there are choices when it comes to how that death benefit is distributed.
Hmm.
We call these choices settlement options.
So instead of that one big lump sum, what other options are on the table?
Let's say, for instance, you want to insure your child's future education.
Okay.
Instead of a lump sum, you could choose the interest income option. This means the insurer would hold the death benefit and make regular interest payments to your beneficiary.
So like a steady stream of income for their college years.
Right.
That's smart. Are there options that provide more structured payments?
Absolutely.
Okay.
If you wanted guaranteed payments for a set period of time, say 20 years, you could opt for the fixed period option.
Okay.
This ensures a consistent flow of money to your beneficiary for that duration, and even if they were to pass away before those 20 years are up, any remaining payments would be directed to a contingent beneficiary that you've designated.
What if I'm concerned about my beneficiary managing a large sum of money responsibly? Could I control how much they receive at a time?
You absolutely can.
Okay.
The fixed amount option allows you to specify a set payment amount to be distributed. The insurer then calculates how long those payments will last based on the interest earned.
That takes a lot of the guesswork out of it. I'm really seeing how these options could provide peace of mind for both the policyholder and their beneficiaries.
And here's where it gets even more interesting. If the interest earned on the death benefit is higher than the initial guaranteed rate, the payments could actually continue for a longer duration. It's a potential bonus you might not have considered.
Okay, now this is all starting to make sense, but what about someone who wants to guarantee their beneficiary a lifetime income? Is that even possible with a life insurance policy?
It is. We have the life income option, which works similarly to an annuity.
Okay.
This guarantees a regular income stream for the beneficiary's entire life, no matter how long they live.
That's a game changer for someone worried about outliving their savings.
Exactly. And within the life income option, there are even more nuanced choices to consider.
Mm.
You have options like life only, life with period certains, life with refund, and joint and survival options, which can cover multiple beneficiaries.
Wow, so many ways to customize the payout. This is incredibly insightful.
It really all boils down to your individual needs and the specific needs of your beneficiaries.
Yeah.
You know.
Okay. We're going to have to pause there. But when we come back, we're going to dive deeper into how you can access the cash value of your policy during your lifetime.
Perfect.
So stay tuned. Okay. My mind is officially blown. I had no idea. There were so many options when it came to life insurance payouts. But you mentioned earlier that we'd circle back to how a policyholder can actually access that cash value during their lifetime. So let's dive into that.
You're right. We did. And this is where the concept of policy loans comes in, which is one of the most powerful features of permanent life insurance.
Policy loans. I'm intrigued. Tell me more.
Essentially, it's like taking out a loan against your own policy.
Okay.
You're borrowing from yourself using the cash value that you've built up as collateral.
So I'm both the lender and the borrower. That's pretty interesting. What are the advantages of doing it this way?
Well, for starters, there's typically no credit check required. And the interest rates on policy loans are often significantly lower than what you'd find with traditional loans, like personal loans or even credit cards.
This sounds pretty appealing. Is there a lot of flexibility in terms of repayment?
There is. You have a lot of leeway in how and when you repay the loan. You can make lump sum payments or spread it out over time. It's really up to you.
This is making me think about how I might be able to leverage this feature for short-term financial needs, but are there any downsides to taking out a policy loan?
There is one important thing to keep in mind. Any outstanding loan balance will reduce the death benefit that's ultimately paid out to your beneficiaries.
Ah, that makes sense. So it's important to strike a balance between accessing the cash value for my own needs and making sure there's still enough death benefit protection in place for my loved ones.
Exactly. It's all about finding that sweet spot that aligns with your overall financial goals and the needs of your beneficiaries.
Speaking of protection, what happens if I were to miss a premium payment? Is there anything in place to prevent my policy from lapsing?
Most permanent life insurance policies have what's called an automatic premium loan provision.
Automatic premium loan. How does that work?
It acts as a safety net. If you haven't paid your premium by the end of the grace period, the insurer will automatically take out a loan against your policy's cash value to cover that missed payment.
So it's like my policy is paying for itself in a way, but I imagine that also gets added to the outstanding loan balance, reducing the death benefit, right?
That's correct. It's a valuable feature to prevent your policy from lapsing unintentionally. But it's important to be aware of the impact it can have on the death benefit if it's used repeatedly.
We've talked about policy loans, but you also mentioned withdrawals or partial surrenders. How do those differ from taking out a loan?
A policy loan, as we discussed, is borrowed against your cash value and can be repaid. With a withdrawal or partial surrender, you're actually taking a portion of your cash value out permanently.
So it's like making a withdrawal from my savings account. It's gone for good, and it also reduces the death benefit, right?
That's right. It's important to understand the distinction between loans and withdrawals because they each have different implications for your policy and your overall financial situation.
Now let's talk about something that sounds a bit more positive, dividends. I know some policies offer the potential for dividends, but I've always been a bit fuzzy on how those work. Can you clear that up for me?
Certainly. Some permanent life insurance policies are classified as participating policies. What sets them apart is that they can distribute dividends to policyholders.
Distribute dividends. What exactly are these dividends and where do they come from?
Think of dividends as a refund of a portion of your premiums. They're essentially a share of the insurer's profits, reflecting the company's financial performance.
So it's like a bonus for being a loyal customer.
That's a good way to think about it. And here's a key point that many people find appealing: dividends are typically tax-free.
Tax-free, that's a big deal. So if my policy pays out dividends, I get to keep all that money without having to worry about Uncle Sam taking a cut.
Exactly. Now, it's crucial to remember that dividends are never guaranteed. They depend on a number of factors, including the insurer's investment returns, operating costs, and overall financial health.
That makes sense. It wouldn't be prudent for an insurance company to guarantee a specific dividend payout when there are so many variables at play.
You're absolutely right. However, even with that caveat, dividends can be a very attractive perk of participating policies. And here's where it gets even better. You have options for how to use those dividends.
Options? You mean I don't just have to take them as cash? What else can I do with them?
You have a few different choices. You can take the dividends as cash, of course, or you can choose to let them accumulate interest, which can help grow your cash value over time.
That sounds like a good option for someone with a long-term growth mindset. What if I'm more focused on keeping my out-of-pocket expenses down?
In that case, you might opt to use the dividends to reduce your premium payments. This can help free up some cash flow in your budget.
That's pretty handy. Are there any options that would actually increase my coverage?
Yes, you could choose to use the dividends to purchase paid-up additions. This essentially buys additional insurance within your existing policy, increasing your death benefit.
So I could use those dividends to boost my coverage without having to go through the hassle of applying for a new policy.
That's right. And if you're really looking for long-term security, you could even use the dividends to work towards having your policy become paid up.
Paid up, what does that mean?
It means that eventually your dividends and accumulated interest would cover the entire premium cost, and you would no longer have to make out-of-pocket premium payments. Your policy would essentially be self-funding.
Wow, that's pretty incredible. But what if I'm in a situation where I can no longer afford to make my premium payments at all? Is my policy just lost?
Not necessarily. Most policies have what are called non-forfeiture options, built in to protect your investment, even if you can't continue paying premiums.
Non-forfeiture options. It sounds like these could be a real lifesaver in a tough situation. What exactly are they?
There are essentially different ways your policy can continue to provide some level of benefit, even if you stop paying premiums.
That's reassuring to know. What are some of the options available?
One option is called cash surrender. This allows you to receive the cash value that's built up within your policy, but you would surrender the policy, meaning it ends.
So I could get my money back, but I'd lose the coverage. That's a trade-off to consider. Are there options that allow me to keep some level of coverage?
Yes, there are. Another option is called reduced paid-up insurance. With this option, you would receive a reduced death benefit, but you wouldn't have to pay any more premiums. It's like downsizing your coverage, but keeping it in force without ongoing payments.
That could be a good option for someone who needs to reduce their expenses but still wants to maintain some level of death benefit protection. What's the third option?
The third option is called extended term insurance. This allows you to keep the same death benefit amount, but only for a limited term, typically determined by how much cash value you have available. It's like a temporary safety net to bridge a gap in coverage.
Okay, I'm starting to see how these non-forfeiture options can provide some flexibility and peace of mind, even in challenging financial circumstances. This is a lot to process, but I'm really starting to appreciate the depth and complexity of life insurance.
It's certainly a multifaceted financial tool with far more to it than many people initially realize.
Wow, we've really gone deep on the different ways to utilize a life insurance policy. It's incredible how many moving parts there are. But before I wrap up, I was hoping we could touch on some of the common provisions found in life insurance policies. You know, those key details that might be buried in the fine print.
That's a great point. Understanding those provisions can really help you navigate your policy and make informed decisions. It's like knowing the rules of the game before you start playing.
Okay, so what are some of the essential provisions that we should be aware of?
One that provides immediate peace of mind is the free look period. It gives you a set amount of time, usually 10 days after you receive your policy, to review it thoroughly. If you're not satisfied for any reason, you can return it for a full refund.
So it's like a test drive for your insurance. You get to kick the tires and make sure it's the right fit before you fully commit. I like that. What about the insuring clause? That sounds pretty official.
It is the heart of the contract. The insuring clause spells out the insurer's fundamental promise to pay the death benefit to your named beneficiary upon your death.
Think of it as the bedrock guarantee of the entire policy.
That makes sense. It's like the cornerstone of the agreement. Now, who exactly has the power to make decisions about the policy? Things like changing beneficiaries or taking out loans. That's where ownership rights come in. As the policy owner, you hold the reins. You have the right to exercise all the policy rights and privileges. You can change beneficiaries unless you've designated an irrevocable beneficiary. You can select the settlement options we discussed earlier, access the cash value, and even cancel the policy altogether. It's your policy and you're in control.
It's great to have that level of control, but what if I wanted to use my policy as collateral for a loan? Is that even possible?
Absolutely. That's referred to as a collateral assignment. It allows you to pledge all or a portion of the death benefit as security for a loan. But without actually transferring ownership of the policy, once you've repaid the loan, the assignment is lifted.
So it's like leveraging the value of my policy without giving up control. That's smart. Now, this might seem obvious, but how do I know that the policy document itself represents the complete agreement between me and the insurance company?
That's addressed by the entire contract provision. It clearly states that the life insurance policy document, along with a copy of your original application, constitute the entire agreement. This protects you from any future claims by the insurer that something wasn't disclosed or was misrepresented.
It's like a legally binding, what you see is what you get guarantee
But
then.
what if I need to make changes to the policy down the line? Life can be unpredictable and my needs might change. Any changes or modifications to the policy are handled through what are called endorsements. These are formal written amendments to the original contract that must be agreed upon by both you and the insurer. It ensures that everything is transparent and everyone is on the same page.
That makes sense. Transparency and clear communication are key in any contractual agreement, Now, we've talked about the benefits and provisions, but what about the fundamental exchange of value that underpins this whole contract?
That's outlined in the consideration clause.
Yeah.
Your consideration is the premium you pay,
right,
and the truthful statements you made in your application. The insurer's consideration is their promise to pay the death benefit according to the terms of the policy.
So it's like a two-way street. Each party brings something of value to the table. Speaking of premiums, what happens if I miss a payment? Life can get hectic and things can slip through the cracks.
Don't worry. There's a built-in safety net called the grace period. Typically, 31 days if you miss a premium payment. You have that grace period to catch up. Your policy remains in force during that time.
Mm.
And even if you pass away during the grace period, the death benefit will be paid minus any outstanding premium due.
That's a huge relief to know. It's like having a little breathing room just in case. But what if I miss the grace period altogether and my policy lapses? Is all hope lost?
Not necessarily. Most policies have a reinstatement provision that allows you to reactivate a lapsed policy within a certain time frame, usually 3 years. You'll need to pay all the past due premiums plus interest, and you might need to provide evidence of insurability, which often involves a medical exam.
It's like hitting the reset button, but with a bit of catch-up involved.
Yeah.
Okay, this next one seems really important. Incontestability. What's that all about?
The incontestability clause is a major protection for policyholders. It essentially states that after your policy has been in force for a specified period, usually 2 years,
okay,
the insurer can no longer contest the validity of the policy based on misstatements or omissions in your application unless there was clear intent to defraud.
So after that 2 year mark, they can't come back and say, oh, you forgot to mention that sprained ankle you had in college, so we're denying your claim. That's fantastic. It really takes a lot of worry off the table.
Exactly. It provides peace of mind knowing that minor discrepancies or unintentional oversights from years ago won't come back to haunt you.
Are there any exceptions to this incontestability clause?
There are a couple. One is misstatement of age. If your age was recorded incorrectly on your application, the death benefit can be adjusted to reflect the amount of insurance that the premium would have purchased at your correct age.
Mm. So it's about making sure the premiums and the death benefit are aligned with your actual age. That seems fair. What's the other exception?
The other common exception is the suicide clause. If the insured dies by suicide within the first 2 years of the policy, the death benefit is typically not paid. However, the premiums paid are usually refunded to the beneficiary. After that initial 2 year period, suicide is covered like any other death.
That's a sensitive topic, but it's important to be upfront about it. It also underscores the importance of reaching out for help if you or someone you know is struggling. Okay, let's shift to a more positive note, payment of claims. What can I expect when it comes time for the insurer to pay out the death benefit?
The payment of claims provision outlines the insurer's obligation to pay the death benefit promptly upon receiving proof of death. Most states have laws requiring insurers to settle claims within a specific time frame, often 60 days.
That's reassuring to know. It means my loved ones won't be left in limbo facing unnecessary delays or complications. Well, we've certainly covered a lot of ground in this deep dive. It's been incredibly insightful. Any final thoughts before we wrap up?
It's been a fascinating journey, and I commend you for taking the time to explore these important details. As you move forward, remember that life insurance is a powerful financial tool. It's about safeguarding your loved ones. Yes. But it's also about building financial security and creating options throughout your life. Think about your long-term goals and the kind of legacy you want to leave behind. This knowledge empowers you to make informed decisions about your life insurance that align with your unique needs and aspirations.
That's a perfect way to sum it up. Knowledge truly is power, and now you're equipped to navigate the world of life insurance with confidence. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive.